This morning we're going to be in Genesis chapter 26, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12. And remember, we are studying the life of Isaac. And I've entitled the sermon this morning, Learning Life Lessons. And our big idea that I'd like for you to walk away with from this sermon is actually found in Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, or do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I think that's very much in keeping with the theme that the Lord has brought about in this service. Okay, well, let's say this together. Be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, would you make it part of who we are? Lord, may we learn something today. Lord, may we go and may we do. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here's a rhetorical question for you. Have you ever tried to teach your kid a skill? That's probably all of us. Man, we have to think about everything, you know, everything that they know to do, you had to teach them, didn't you? Some of them were a little bit more pleasant than others. Any of you remember your dad trying to teach you how to catch a baseball? How many of you got hit with it a couple of times? Oh, yeah. How many of you moms remember trying to teach your child how to maybe bake something? Wasn't that fun? But you know what? We take and we teach our kids things, and we realize, you know, we have to do it. Yeah, no, honey, you know, make sure it's a level cup. You know, oh, no, son, you know, don't hold your glove. You know, don't hold it underneath. You know, hold it up like this. And, you know, the thing, we have to take our time. We have to teach them. But, you know, one thing that's kind of frightening is that there are lessons that we teach our kids where we're not even aware that we're doing it. Man, have you ever heard your kids say something that you said and you wish they hadn't heard that? Yes. Baby's first word may have not been mama or daddy. We'll just leave that at that. But, you know, we're always teaching when we have our kids around us. So, and, you know, I believe even now, you know, we're either teaching or we're learning. And we have to be careful with what our life is teaching others. Whether it's our kids, even our grown kids, we still have an influence on them. And the things that we do and the things that we say, we are continually to teach life lessons to them, whether we know it or not. I want to make sure that we're doing a good job of that. All right, we are in Genesis 26:1, and history is going to repeat itself here. Now there was a famine in the land besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. Now, there's where Gerar is. For those of you who missed it, there's where Gerar is. It's in the southern part, of the promised land. Now, this is the second big famine that they had during this time. And Abraham actually went to Gerar during the famine during his lifetime. And, well, he did something. And we talked about this a couple months ago. He kind of claimed that his wife was his sister. So that they wouldn't kill him and take his wife and things like that. So they went to, if you read your Bible, remember it says Abimelech. Now, Abimelech is not a name, but it's more like a title, like king. It actually means, if we translate it literally, it means my father is a king. So this was the title that was given to the son of the king. And then he became the king. And then, of course, his son would become king. So it is a generational term. So here it is. Isaac goes to the Philistines, just like his father did, and they're there, well, it starts out kind of friendly. But let's take a look here. It says, the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt to dwell in the land, but dwell in the land in which I tell you. So just like his father, God spoke to him. And Isaac ends up being the only patriarch of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who doesn't leave the promised land. And we take a look at this, and Egypt, it's a very well-defined community at that point. It's actually one of the first empires in that area. And they have the Nile, there's lots of water there, it's always fruitful. But the thing about it is, for God's people, Egypt represents a type of sin. It'll tell us that later on in the Bible. So we're being told to, don't go down into the land that represents sin, but stay in the land of promise. So we take a look at that, and that is, we want to stay in the will of the Lord. It's God's will that we stay in the promised land, not that we go into sin. And so God had heard about the promises, Isaac had heard about the promises that God made to his father, and now he's going to experience an encounter with God personally. And I want to tell you something. We need to make sure that we raise our kids to be able to hear from God themselves. There has to come a time where God is their God and not the God of mom and dad, not the God of grandpa and grandma. But we need to raise our children in such a way that they will have an experience with God and God becomes their God. So here's what God has to tell Isaac. He says, sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For you and your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and will give your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. God appears. He makes a promise to Isaac, the same one that he made to Abraham. He tells him, I want you to stay. I want you not to go into Egypt. I want you to stay in the land. And so what he's asking for obedience. Stay here. Sojourn here. We know to obey is better than sacrifice. God wants us to obey what his words will tell us. And if we stay in the land or we stay in God's will, then his presence will be with us. Some people wonder how it is that they can experience the presence of the Lord. Well, here's something that God would speak to some of the offspring of Abraham a little bit later. He says, "The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. And if you forsake him, he will forsake you." So if you want to be in the presence of the Lord, you seek the Lord. It's not just something that happens. It's not just an accident. But it's one of those things that if we want the presence of the Lord, we have to seek after it. And you know what? Just like we saw with Isaac, there will be a blessing if you follow God's direction. That's really not hard, is it? You want the blessings of the Lord? And a lot of people say, I wish the Lord would bless me. I wish I'd get a blessing from the Lord. Then do what the Lord tells you. Do what you clearly see in God's Word. Do what you feel the Holy Spirit leading you to do. And whenever you order your life according to what God's Word says, according to the direction of His Holy Spirit, you're going to live in a blessed life. What was the blessing for Isaac? What was the entering into the covenant of Abraham? He said, all right, here's what's going to happen. You are going to inherit the land. Now remember, he told Abraham, he says, you know what? Not a foot of this land is going to belong to you. I'm not going to give it to you. And then Isaac comes around and he inherits the land. He stays in the promised land, and the inheritance starts with Isaac. He's going to establish the covenant with him. That's the promise that God made to his father. We follow the direction of the Lord. Then you know what? We're going to find ourselves in the blessings of the Lord. If you want to be blessed, you have to follow what God says. What was part of that? That he says, well, I'm going to multiply your descendants. They're going to be like the stars in the sky. And through that, we have the universal blessing of all the nations. We are blessed because of the faithfulness of Isaac, who was blessed because of the faithfulness of his father. You see, it matters what we do because we learn life lessons from those who we see as our fathers, those who we see as our spiritual elders. And because of Abraham, because of Isaac, we see now the promise of a universal blessing. Paul would say in Galatians, now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. We belong to Jesus. We are the offspring of Abraham through Jesus. We inherit the blessing of salvation by faith and God's presence with us by our forefathers. Because Abraham was faithful, because Isaac was faithful, and yes, Jacob will be faithful also. And so we see they're not perfect. We're not calling for perfection here because, Isaac is probably the best of all the patriarchs for not messing up. We looked at Abraham. We saw, Abraham did some things that were like, oh, can't believe you did that, Abe. And we'll see Jacob and we'll go, oh, man. But Isaac is the one we're like, oh, made a mistake. But you know what? Basically, we go through his life and we see he was even called a type of Christ. So here's the why of the blessing. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. You know, God knew that Abraham would do these things. Matter of fact, he would say in Genesis 18:19, for I have chosen Abraham that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so the Lord may bring Abraham what he has promised him. My friends, we need to walk in obedience to the Lord that we might inherit the blessing. God pours out the blessing of salvation. Oh, that is great. But you know what? There is so much more that God wants to be able to pour out on us whenever we take and we order our life according to what God has revealed to us in His Word. So remember, you're teaching or you're being taught. Moms, dads, it's important. Grandmas, grandpas, it's important because those little ones are watching you. What happens? Obedience. If you want obedience from your children, you model obedience for them. What does obedience look like? Well, God talked, Abraham listened, and he obeyed. A lot of times we hear from the Lord, but do we obey? How many times have you spoke to your kids and you know that they physically heard you? Their ears are working. And we know that they have really heard whenever they do what we tell them to do. You know, as children of God, it works the same way too, doesn't it? Yeah. Oh, well, we just went through James. And James says, don't be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. So we show that we have faith in our obedience when we hear the word and we do it, we are obeying the word. Now he said that Abraham would follow his charge. I broke this down. I looked at it. What in the world is he talking about here? What did he charge him to do? No, we're not talking about a credit card or swiping on that, but the charge, that means to worship in a fitting way. We want to be like Abraham. Well, you know, we want to be obedient, but we want to worship God in a fitting way. And we know in the New Testament, it tells us that, you know, we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, that we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. You know, we worship the Lord in a way that is pleasing to Him. We worship the Lord, and whenever we set that good example for others, we live our life to be a blessing to others. He said, He is even going to follow my commandments. Now, one thing that you have to remember, The Ten Commandments have not come about yet. Think about that. God had conversations with Abraham that are not recorded in the Bible. Because he says, I know he's going to keep my commandments. So God had to tell him what they were. Think about that. Before these were written down on tablets of stone, they were told to Abraham. And you know, as children of Abraham, we now have a new covenant where it says that his commands and his laws are written on our heart. Not on the tablets of stone. So just as Abraham would keep the law, and God says he kept my law, he kept my commandments, he keeps my statutes. And statutes are whenever we take a look and where we live according to God's principles. And you know, this is something that Christians need to learn how to do. Sometimes we get to be kind of legalistic. You know, if I don't see a thou shalt not do this or thou shalt do this, sometimes we don't want to do those things, right? Statutes are where we take God's nature, God's commandments, and we look at them and we apply them to a situation. Nowhere in the Bible does it say thou shalt not commit abortion. But we know that according to God's nature, according to His commandments, that all life is precious to Him. Amen. And that therefore we can make a look at statutes, say, you know what, it doesn't say this, but we know according to what we read in God's Word and how He even knows babies before they're born and how He has their life planned out, that He cares about the unborn. We need to learn to not be legalistic, but also learn to take God's Word and apply it to everyday situations. And yes, He was going to keep the laws, God's law, the code of wisdom, handed down even before they were written down on a tablet of stone. He said, I know that Abraham will do these things and will teach his kids justice. Wow, we need to be like Abraham. We need to be like Isaac. And we need to make sure that these things are in our heart and that we are teaching our children. Now, whether these are actual children, some of us, you know, most of us here are actual children have grown up and gone out of the house. But you know what? Every one of us can be a spiritual mother or father. Oh, only one person believes that. Let's try that one again. We can all be spiritual mothers and fathers. Amen. All right, there we go. Whew, had me worried there. All right, now, here's a little application for you. Your duty is to bless your children. Spiritual children, natural children. And you know what? I think that we bless our children by, number one, we set an example. A good example. We allow them to see our life. Paul said, you guys, you're my epistle. That means that he actually took and he instructed people and they could tell what type of man that Paul was because he set a good example. We take a look at, yeah, here's how do you bless your children? Well, you have open communication with them. You talk to them at the table. You talk to them, ask them about how their day was. If they're out of the house, you pick up your phone and you call them and find out what in the world's going on in their life. For those of you who still have kids in the house, you teach them God's Word. Oh, it's not the Sunday school teacher or the children's church teacher's responsibility. It's your responsibility. And you know, if your kids are out of the house, you know what? Your grandkids come over, it's a teachable moment. And once again, if you're a mature Christian, then it's your responsibility to baby Christians. And we all know people who are a little bit, you know, they're younger in the Lord. We should teach them. Well, I'm not a teacher. Well, you know what? If you have experience, you have more experience than someone who's new in Christ, right? Let them make original mistakes. We need to teach them ourselves, each one of us. And of course, for our children, we need a discipline. We need a discipline as Christ would. That's a hard one, isn't it? That even means for spiritual children. The writer of Hebrews says that God chastises those whom He loves, even as a father would to his son. And you know what? Disciplining is never fun, is it? My mom used to say, this is going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me, and I believed her. You know, as we discipline, we're going to make sure we're explaining why. Never discipline in anger. Always, if you're open, keeping those lines of communication open. And you know what? Even as spiritual parents, you have to discipline spiritual children. The Bible says that. We just don't let them flounder and do things. We correct. We correct in love. Now, here's some things to avoid us as both parents and spiritual parents. Avoid the do as I say, not as I do. If you want your kids to think you're a hypocrite, then practice that. Do as I say, not as I do. We've seen that, and we want to make sure that we are avoiding that. Now, don't let your kids grow up too fast. Man, it's a real hard thing to do now because, you know, Hollywood pushes all these other things there. I mean, the kids know a lot more. They're teaching them things in school that they shouldn't be teaching them there. Protect your children's innocence as long as you can. Now, avoid not introducing them to Jesus. You see, if you've been teaching them all along, sometimes I've known people say, well, you know, I want to wait until they get older, let them make a decision for themselves. My friends, you should introduce your child to who Jesus is. And you should explain to them how it is that they accept Him. Yes. And you know what? Let the Holy Spirit guide you whenever they're ready to make Jesus their Lord and Savior. And you know what? As spiritual parents, we need to do the same thing. We need to introduce our friends and our family to Jesus. And if we're doing all that other stuff there in front of it, then you know what? It's going to be a lot easier than if all of a sudden if you've been living your life as they do as I say, not as I do. They need to see a real difference in you. You need to be a good example of who Jesus is before you introduce them to Him. And the last one here, don't let Apple raise your kids. Limit your screen time or a laptop, those things there. I can't think of a spiritual application of that one, but I threw that one in there because don't let Apple raise your kids. All right, so what happens? Isaac is heard from the Lord and the promises. He's ready to go. And it says, Isaac said in a Gerar. And then the men of the place came and asked about his wife. Hey, it's a pretty good looking girl you got there. And he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, my wife, thinking, lest the men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah. Because she was attractive in appearance. Okay. Man, all these promises from God. And what does he do? The first time he gets a chance. It's like, woohoo, I've inherited the promise. Hey, Isaac, that's a pretty good looking girl you got there. My sister. I wonder if he learned that from his dad. Think about that. Abraham did that twice. And do you think Sarah might have told Isaac that when his little boy? Oh yeah, I remember the time your dad basically gave me to Pharaoh. God intervened and then he did it again to Abimelech and you know what? God had to send a dream. Now this is probably Abimelech's son who Isaac is dealing with. Same name of Abimelech. Oh, wow. So what does he do? Ah, she's my sister. But you know, God intervened. You know, sometimes this is what it is. It's a lack of faith. God says, you're going to inherit all this. It's going to be awesome. And he fears. You see, fear is the enemy of faith.
Amen.
It's not lack of faith, it's fear. So what do we see here? Oh, we see false evidence appearing real. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, how do I prepare for that? John would say, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. The love of God should cast out your fear. You should learn to depend on the Lord, to believe the Lord. If Isaac had truly had faith in what God told him, he would have said, "That's my wife. Keep your hands off of her." But because he allowed fear, "They'll kill me." They didn't kill him. What happens to OAC next? We see confrontation, if confrontation is going to happen. And you know what? That's always going to happen to us. There's always going to be a bully. There's always going to be someone who wants to control. There's always going to be a situation. We should expect those things. Peter would tell us, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you. It's as though some strange thing were happening to you." Guys, it's like that word from the Lord this morning. There's a fire out there, and we're going to have to be in the middle of it. There's going to be confrontation. We have to expect it. But we know that because of our trust in the Lord, because our faith in the Lord, that even though we're in confrontation, He's going to be there with us. And you know what? There's always going to be consequences. Consequences are the result of an action. Sometimes a result of an inaction. And you know what? Here's what Isaac decided to do. "I'll lie. She's my sister." Decisions made from a point of fear are seldom good. Paul would tell the Corinthians, "Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourself, and do not realize about yourselves what Christ, that Christ is in you, unless you fail to meet the test." You see, there's going to be trials out there. There's going to be bullies. There's going to be all these other things that come against us. And there's going to be confrontation. And you know what? Because of the decision we make, there's always going to be consequences. If we stand for Jesus, He'll be that fourth man in the fire. If we decide to lie, then you know what? We may be on our own. But you know, God is good. And we even see this, we see this in the story. He didn't allow anything to happen. But he says, not all solutions are supernatural. When he had been there a long time, this is Isaac, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out the window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah, his wife. All right. Laughing is a euphemism. You know, some of your Bibles will say that Abimelech looked out the window and he saw Isaac sporting with his wife. Others say they saw them laughing. Others says that they saw them caressing. We're not exactly sure what this means, but you know what? His wife was a beautiful woman. And I will bet that Isaac could not keep his hands off his wife. And Abimelech looks out the window, and here's Isaac. I even do this to Sister Kim every now and then. When I don't think anybody's looking, I like reach over there, grab her, pull her in, kiss her, do all types of things like that. She's like looking around to make sure no one's watching. I know what Isaac did. If you're married and you love your wife like I love my wife, you know what he did too there. Abimelech looks out there. He's like, "Oh, she ain't a sister." No, we can tell that. Couldn't keep his hands off of his beautiful wife. But you know, there are no coincidences with God. He knew what to do and how to make things line up. Man, he created the universe. He can align the sun, moon, and stars. He knew he could make Abimelech look whenever Isaac was, "Oh, baby, come here." Oh, we have a man-to-man confrontation. Woo! Abimelech, "Behold, she is your wife. How then could you say she's my sister?" Isaac, "Oh, because I thought lest I die because of her." You know what? Honesty works. Well, one thing, it's a lot more easy to be honest because lies get complicated, don't they? God's will is not perpetuated by us sinning. You see, Isaac had to come clean. Because God wanted to continue on His blessings on Abraham, on Isaac. But you know what? God does not obligated to bless us if we do sinful things. We want to make ourselves blessable. We want to make sure that we're in the will of the Lord. And so Abimelech, as a good leader, he says, What is this that you've done to us? One of the people might have easily lain with your wife, and they would have brought guilt upon us. Now remember, the same place, the same family line, Abraham, well, you know, Sarah had been taken in, everybody had been rendered infertile. God had cursed the house of Abimelech. And I will bet you this Abimelech knew about what had happened between Abraham and his dad. I'm like, wow, you might have brought guilt on us. You know, the best way to settle conflict is man to man and face to face. Confrontations are necessary. You know what? Face to face is best. Don't do it on text message. Don't do it on social media. Please don't do it on social media. Come to somebody. Talk to them. Face to face. Abimelech sets a good example for us. And he's a heathen. But we see God desires for us to live our lives in such a way that we don't have to worry about lies and things catching up to us. We'll just be honest and truthful. So Abimelech warned all of his people, saying, whoever touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. He's a good leader. He wants to take care of his people. So what happens? Well, Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Look at that. He did something that the Lord could bless. The Lord couldn't bless his lie. And we see there that, you know, he said he'd been there a long time. And I'm sure he had fed his sheep and maybe planted some things there and did okay. But notice, after this incident, he says he sowed in the land and reaped the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him. You got to be doing what is right, what God wants, to be blessed. What's our takeaway from this? Well, remember, you're either teaching or learning. Teach well. Do the will of the Lord. And you know what? Learn from those people who are worthy to be imitated. Number two, and here's something that Isaac should have learned. You do not have to do what your parents did. How many of you have ever thought, yeah, I'm never going to do that? And then you turned around and did it. Oh, yeah. My boy just told me. He's like, man, I just heard myself say something you would say, Dad. But you know what? We're allowed to make original mistakes. We don't have to do everything our parents did. And you know what? Parents, you should parent in a way that when you realize that you have done wrong, you need to bless your kids by going to them and saying, hey, you know what? I was wrong with that, and I want to apologize. It's okay to admit that you were wrong even years after the fact. Number three, God cannot bless a sinful action. Remember, live your life in a way that is blessable, as blessable by God. Which leads us to the last part. Do something that God can bless. Stand up for what is right. Be that person in the fire. Be the person who walks on water. We all know Peter started to drown, but he called out to the Lord. Do something, do an action that God can bless. Sometimes we want the blessings of the Lord and we kind of sit down and kind of think they're going to kind of like, you know, come through the door or the window or fall through the ceiling. Do something for the Lord, so that He can add His blessing to it. And you know what? If we do this, the kingdom of God will go forth here in Socorro, and we will be blessed as we do the Lord's work. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Lord, and let us learn from it. Now, Father, I ask that You would bless my family here, Lord, that You would bless them and keep them. Lord, cause them to prosper in all that they do. Lord, and for the food that we're about to receive, Lord, we are grateful and we are thankful. Lord, would You bless it to our bodies? We thank You in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. My family, my friends, I bless you now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are dismissed. Go grab your children and go through the line. Enjoy a time of fellowship.